You're listening to Catholic Answers Focus. I am Cy Kellett, your host. We're talking with Dr. Greg Bataro, the executive director and founder of the Catholic Psych Institute. His book, The Mindful Catholic, Finding God One Moment at a Time. Dr. Bataro, let's talk a little bit about this mindful thing then. So I think we're getting a clear understanding of what you're trying to share with us as far as a Catholic approach to healing. To put it in the medieval terms, it's grace building on nature, that we begin with all the natural things we can do, but we don't forget to place ourselves in God's hands, that God is our
Absolutely.
Father, God loves us, both as healers and as those who seek healing. So I want to get to the mindfulness thing, because your book, The Mindful Catholic, Finding God One Moment at a Time, comes at a time where there's a great deal of, I would say, Catholic uncertainty, and in some cases, real anxiety about the whole mindfulness movement. So help us there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, just to start off with, there should be a little bit of skepticism or some anxiety over it, because it does come from an entirely different system of thought. So I think anything that comes from something that's so radically different, you know, we need to evaluate that. We need to have a sense of analysis and be open to kind of seeing what might be good or not good about it, especially. So, you know, I've done a lot of work in understanding mindfulness, because primarily as a psychologist, I've seen that the research is abundantly clear that it works. And in my practice, I've seen it over and over and over again, the tremendous freedom that people can gain through this simple practice. And so then, you know, some might say, well, that's actually what the research says about Reiki, you know, interestingly enough. So the question, the fact that it works doesn't necessarily answer the question, is it okay? Because we do have this whole other world of spiritual battle that's going on. And those brilliant mastermind demons love to use, you know, things that work for us in the short term to veer us off track in the long term. And so that's one of the things that I had to first sort of analyze about mindfulness, because I think Reiki, you know, I think there is an effect that can happen there. And I think that you're really flirting with some dangerous stuff, because if it's working for some reason, whether it's natural or supernatural. And it seems to me that Reiki is maybe working a little bit on a supernatural level. I'm not an expert on Reiki, so I'm not throwing that out there. I don't want to divert from the actual conversation, but to sort of compare it to something. That's the approach that I went into looking at what mindfulness is doing. And as I broke down what mindfulness is, the practice itself is a very non-spiritual practice. And it turns out that the components of mindfulness that make it effective are simple, basic psychological truths. And so this is where that respect for the bodily aspect of our humanity comes in really handy. You know, and I think that there's a lot of Catholics out there who are not well formed in understanding this integration of body and spirit. And so, you know, when that happens, we see something working, and it almost becomes like there's got to be a spiritual answer here. And if it's not working in light of the Catholic faith, in light of Catholic spirituality, it must be working because of some other spirituality. And like we said, in some cases that may be true. But when it comes to other practices or other things like mindfulness or other physiological healing processes or techniques, it could just be that it's working on a natural level. And so the deeper I dug into what mindfulness actually is in itself as a practice, I saw that's actually what's occurring. And a lot of it's very consistent with Western psychology. A lot of the sort of modules of a mindfulness protocol are very consistent and overlap with what we'd practice anyways in psychology. So it was all very familiar once I started breaking down what it actually is. Now, to add sort of a nuance here, I make the point that you can practice mindfulness in a it comes from Buddhism. So we could practice it in a Buddhist context, which means it's plugged into the world, Buddhist worldview. And at that point, it's dangerous.
If
and
I could,
what I mean by that...
Oh, go ahead. You finish your point. I'm sorry.
Well, so the Buddhist mindset and worldview is based on the fact that at the end, full flourishing is to experience nirvana, to move past the illusion of the separation of identities. In other words, it's the truth that all of being is actually one. And so we have to progress through these steps of human progress to finally get to this ultimate truth where we experience the oneness of all being, and the separateness of being sort of disappears. You become one with the universe. And that's very dangerous. And so mindfulness as a step on that journey can be, if it's directed in that way, it can be dangerous. And just practically speaking, if you're listening to an exercise by a Buddhist mindfulness practitioner, they might throw in little bits and pieces of a practice that say, now empty your mind to unite with the oneness of the universe. Or, they might say things that are very specifically Buddhist.
Right.
And that's really not safe.
That's what I wanted to, it's not safe, because that there is a fundamental error in Buddhism on the nature of the human person. And and I suppose it does go back to this, idea that, the Catholic idea rooted in the incarnation of Christ is that we are not a separate soul trapped in a body. We are not creatures that need to move on from our intellect and let go of our intellect. These are not healthy views of what it is to be a human being.
That's right. And our bodies are real, and our spirits are real, and we are really separate. We have a unique identity, which is what the Buddhists don't get. And I was kind of exploring this a little bit further. And I had a professor of mine, Dr. Peter Kreeft, who has a lot of experience with sort of Eastern philosophy, and also a mutual professor that I had the amazing blessing of also having, that he had in his college days, Father Norris Clark, who is a Jesuit priest also, who did a lot of work with Eastern philosophy and trying to dialogue and debate at some of these deeper levels of philosophy. And it's really interesting is that there's a truth to the oneness of all being. But in the Catholic construct, we allow for the existence of mystery. So we can hold at the same time the fact that there is a oneness of all being, and at the same time there is a diversity of being. And that's because, of course, everything flows out of the Trinity. So the very reality of the Trinity as one and three holds within it this mystery of unity and diversity or multiplicity. And to kind of break it down like that, you kind of say, well, I guess the Buddhists are in touch with half the truth. They get the unity of all being. They're just not allowing for the mystery that the multiplicity that they feel could also be true. And they're trying to work towards breaking that down and forcing themselves to, have this subjective experience that, well, the multiplicity part, the sense of self, the sense of I as a distinct being must therefore be an illusion, because you can't have both at the same time. Whereas we say it's okay to have both. We know there can be both. In fact, God has revealed himself to us as both. And so we might not be able to plumb the full depths of that mystery, but we can accept it because we believe in Jesus Christ. And that allows for us to, to kind of hold both at the same time. So I think it can be interesting to kind of see it through that lens. Not that we need to, not for dialogue in the sense of losing our identity, but I do think it kind of opens up a neat perspective to see it that way.
Indeed, it does. And for those who are wondering about the mindful Catholic, finding God one moment at a time, if you know the work of Catholic philosopher Peter Kraft, as many do, and you trust him, well, he wrote the foreword for the book. So just to give you to put your mind at ease a bit, I think we've been adequately critical of Buddhism and given a reasonable caution about not collapsing the self into an illusion. That's a very dangerous thing to do, and it is not at all compatible with what Christ himself teaches. Having given all those warnings, help us to understand what you're calling for when you ask people to find God one moment at a time by being mindful Catholics.
Yeah, so this is where this integration really shines, and this is what I get really excited about, because we see that our faith life may be very strong, and we might you know, do all the right things and religiously follow what we're called to do. But there are certain aspects of Scripture and the Christian faith that maybe we really struggle with. And one of them that I find is pretty universal is trusting God and abandoning ourselves to the Father. And so we have this spiritual idea that we have to trust the Father. We have, you know, Jean-Pierre de Crusade wrote Abandonment to Divine Providence. It's amazing. And or trustful surrender is another part of that work. We read these books, we're fired up, we know this is true, it resonates with our heart. And in Matthew 6:25, Jesus says, do not be anxious about the things of your life. Look at the flowers in the field, look at the birds in the air. Believe that the Father loves you more than them, and he'll take care of you. There's nothing to worry about. So Jesus is telling this to us over and over again. And we have these great spiritual writers that have instructed us in these ways. And we know that it's true. Yet you put the book down, and if people's experience anything like mine, a week later, you're just back to the same old worries. You're spinning your wheels again.
Right.
And it's not because we're bad Catholics. It's not because we're not going to Mass and not saying our prayers and not, you know, seeking to spiritually understand the Father. It's because we're not bringing our full selves into the practice. And that's what I love about what I do in my job, because I help people connect their faith to their emotional lives, which is a significant, very real part of our existence. And so not only do we want to believe intellectually and spiritually that we can trust the Father, but we want to walk around feeling like it's true and not spinning our wheels and ruminating about worries about what might happen later, or why did I say what I said earlier? And, you know, those thoughts spin around and around and around. And these are the benefits of the modules, the observations, the teachings that have come through this protocol of mindfulness. Because what mindfulness does, it actually looks at the brain and the mind, and it looks at why our minds are spinning in those circles. And it helps us to reconnect with what's really necessary. At the end of the day, the sort of core truth of mindfulness is that you're safe. And it doesn't explain why. Mindfulness itself doesn't propose a reason why you're safe. If you're a Buddhist, you practice Buddhist mindfulness, you're safe because danger is an illusion. Safety is an illusion. It's all an illusion. You're safe because there's, you know, ultimately you need to disappear into oneness. If you're Catholic, you're safe because you have a Father who loves you. So if you're practicing Catholic mindfulness, you're learning how to train your mind to correlate and correspond to the faith in your heart. So you know by faith that you have a Father who loves you. Therefore, you know you're safe. And now you can employ these techniques of working with the way you think to line yourself up with that truth. And if you have that foundation, then you can really overcome those thoughts. You can really overcome the narratives of self-talk. Sometimes they're depressing narratives of, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to make it, why does this always happen to me? You know, I'm always behind, I don't have enough time, I'm failing my kids, I'm, you know, whatever. We go on and on and on. We have all of these thought patterns, but those are not what we're created for. We're created to trust Jesus, who said, do not be anxious about the things of your life. And so by employing these techniques from a psychological perspective, it can free us to really fully, deeply chase after those goals and really follow the words of Christ.
I heard a little echo there, and maybe you correct me if I'm wrong, of what cognitive behavioral therapists might say in that self-talk bit. Is cognitive behavioral therapy something that you also attend to and find helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. Cognitive behavioral therapy is definitely a component of the work that we do. It's a component of mindfulness itself. It's a component of a lot of our therapy. But it's really specifically talking about those thought patterns. It's not necessarily the full depth of what we do as Catholic psychologists, but it's a particular lens that can be employed at times to help in certain situations.
So what do you do as Catholic psychologists? Because you founded this Catholic Psych Institute, and people can find out about it at catholicpsych.com. Why did you found the institute, and what is it that you're trying to do, particularly as Catholic psychologists?
That's a great question. My sort of personal vocation and what really kind of lights my fire is to promote this integration, to really try to heal the wound of this dualism. To prove and provide resources and services that, effectively make real this integration of the human person. So, I started off, I was discerning religious life. I spent some time with the Franciscans. I knew I wanted to serve and help people. But then I felt that I was really called to marriage. So I left the friars. I went back to school. All the while, my story sort of internally was always very consistent in terms of what I wanted to do with my life. And I see in psychology this beautiful bridge between people's life of faith and people's life of action and emotional lives and why people are unhappy. One of the first books I ever read by John Paul II, the first writing of his, was Love and Responsibility. And when I read Love and Responsibility, it was really sort of at the same time of my reversion into the church. And I saw in it, I kind of read it as a freshman in college as a manual of psychology. And naively, I just thought there must be Catholic psychologists who would see it the same way, who would use this book to help people find happiness in their relationships and in their lives. I mean, that just, to me, was crystal clear. This is the manual for being in a relationship. So if you're going to do relationship therapy, you'd be insane to not use this book. And then, come to find out that that's actually not a thing. And so I really started to be motivated by the need to bring together the practice of the faith with the practice of psychology and helping people specifically through psychotherapy. And that's what I formed Catholic Psych Institute out of. And to answer your question about what exactly we do, our foundation for, and I don't know how technical you really want to get into this, so you can, follow up with a question if you want, but there are many models of therapy, and some of them are closer to the truth than others. But there's one reality that is derived from our anthropology, our humanity, that I think is the most important reality for psychology and for therapists, and that is the aspect of our relationality. The fact that we're made in God's image out of his relationship, out of the communion of the Trinity, that's at the very deepest core of who we are as human persons. And this is something JP2, fleshed out so much more with theology of the body. And ultimately, our lives are ordered towards mystical union with God. So that relationship is sort of what we're created out of and what we're created into and for. So relationships are, practically speaking, the most important aspect of our lives. And going back to what I said earlier about secular, even the secular psychologists are starting to figure this out, a relationship with a higher power. Does that exist for you? If it doesn't, you're going to suffer tremendously. And so relationships form the foundation of our model, the Catholic psych model for therapy and of the human person. And so first and foremost, we study and understand very deeply our relationships with our patients. And we take that as the foundation, the seedbed, the soil to grow everything else that comes up in therapy, which is why I said CBT is a great technique. And it's maybe one of those, you know, plants that will grow from the soil. But the soil itself is relationship. And so we learn how to be aware of the various dynamics that are occurring in the relationship between us and our clients, our patients. And in that way, we can give our patients a brand new, very novel experience of being in relationship. And in that way, it can be really corrective and formative for our patients at the deepest core level.
So it almost sounds like you're saying if we understand what a human being is, we're already a long way to understanding how healing happens in the life of a human being.
Yes, absolutely.
But the problem... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the problem is the world doesn't understand what a human being is anymore.
Exactly. And you know, not surprisingly, all of this ties back to the family. And so we see ourselves in a position of reparenting our patients a lot of times, trying to provide lessons that our patients missed or were miseducated on in their own individual schools of love. Ultimately, the family is the school of love. The family is where a person from childhood grows into an awareness of who they are as a human person, what they're made for, which is to love, to be a gift of self to others. And all of the disorder in the family creates disorder in the child and in the self growing up out of that family. Again, it's all relational. And so what you just said is absolutely on target, because what's happening? The family life is breaking down entirely. So with divorce, with contraception, with all of the issues that have come up in the last 50 years after Humanae Vitae, with all of the crisis in the church that's happening right now, with all of the prophecies of Our Lady of Fatima and the battleground of the family and marriage and family life, I mean, we could go on and on, but this is the picture that's being painted. And each person is a victim, because at the fundamental core, we're not being educated in who we really are.
Dr. Greg Mataro is our guest. He is the executive director and founder of the Catholic Psych Institute. His book, The Mindful Catholic, Finding God One Moment at a Time, you can find out all about him and what he does at CatholicPsych.com. You're also doing a course on Catholic mindfulness?
Yep, that's right. I teach an 8-week course online, so going through the modules of Catholic mindfulness, kind of bringing it all together, starting off with the practical of what mindfulness is, how to overcome getting control of your anxiety or depression, or, you know, just negative self-talk or feeling overwhelmed or busy, but leading into a really deep integration of, like I said, bringing together your faith and your mental life. So you actually feel like God is the Father you trust, and you really can let go of all the worries that we carry around with us. So that 8-week course is available at CatholicMindfulness.com. And it kind of corresponds with the book, The Mindful Catholic, as well. But it's a live, it's me teaching the content of the course live over the period of 8 weeks.
CatholicMindfulness.com. Dr. Greg Mataro, thanks again. I had a great time, wonderful conversation. Thank you for sharing your insights with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a great blessing. Enjoy.
You've been listening to Catholic Answers Focus. We're delighted to have you here with us. Please share this with other folks if you find it helpful. You can tell them, well, they could join Radio Club. That's one way to get it. Then we'll send it to their inbox each week. The way you join Radio Club, you go to CatholicAnswersLive.com and just sign up for Radio Club. There's a button there. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Focus.